and get your blade. What are you saying? I kind of stole part of this title from Pastor Rock when he was teaching a Sunday. You know, he was telling this lawnmower story, and as soon as he said engage your blade, you know, when something just resonates with you, it just, my innermost being, like, it just came alive, and I said, yes, that's the title of my lesson for Wednesday. So thank you, Pastor. Let's go into prayer. Thank you, Father, for being such a good God. You are indeed a very good God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge, Lord, your patience with us, your kindness, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We cannot thank you enough, Lord, for how good you are to us. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Your word says where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. So thank you, Lord. Father, as I teach, I'm asking, Lord, that you would help me with this lesson. Speak through me. Help me to say exactly what I need to say and eliminate, Lord, all the unnecessary things, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give your people hearing ears, Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying through this lesson tonight. Cause the word to fall on good ground in their hearts so that it would bring forth fruit, Lord. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know what's going on with my, it's okay. Okay. So I'm reading from Mark 11, starting at verse 12. This is the New King James Bible. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. This is referring to Jesus. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And the disciples heard it. Now this particular tree, this fig tree, obviously gave the impression that it had fruit on it. You know, even though it was out of season, it gave the impression that it had fruit. And Jesus was hungry, so he went expecting to find something to eat. But all he found was a bare tree with nothing but leaves. The Bible said he responded to it. Now, in order to respond, the tree had to have said something. You know, as I was preparing this lesson, I was reading it, this is what jumped out at me. He went to the tree looking for fruit and found nothing. Mm-hmm. And then he responded. Well, what is he responding to? Why else would Jesus find a need to respond unless he heard something? Uh-huh. You know, there are all different ways that we can speak without verbally communicating. And back in the day when, you know, my two older kids were little, before the days of cell phones, it was the house phone. Remember the house phone? And it just seems that whenever I would get a phone call, that's when Petal and Michael wanted my attention. I'm on the phone, you know, I'm speaking, and they're coming, trying to talk to me, ask me a question, ask me for something, you know. And sometimes I'm praying with someone on the phone, and they're coming, "Mom, Mom," you know. And I would give them the look. How many of you remember the look? You know, and they got the message loud and clear. Now, today's kids, you can give them the look all you want, and they'll look right back at you. It doesn't necessarily work with today's kids. But in those days, back in, you know, back in the early 80s, all I had to do was give them the look, and they knew exactly what I meant. You know, we can respond, we can say something without verbally saying it. We can look, like I said, or, you know, maybe a roll of the eye. Some of us are notorious for rolling our eyes. Maybe a gesture with the hands. You know, there are different ways to communicate. But, you know, this tree gave a false impression. It gave the impression that it had fruit. And as Jesus went looking for fruit and couldn't find any, you know, you heard we talk to plants. Well, I think that tree was talking to Jesus. That tree was probably saying, so you're hungry, huh? You know, and Jesus, you know, Jesus spoke to it. And he said, no man eat fruit of you from now onwards, I'm paraphrasing. No one eat fruit of you. Jesus cursed the tree. And his disciples who were with him, they heard when he said this. And so jumping down to verse 20, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, referring to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. The King James version says, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. It was dried up. The American Standard Version says basically the same thing, except they said that they saw the tree withered from the roots up. Now, we know that the root is the foundation of any tree. And if the root is dead, so is the tree. I mean, it didn't take long. This tree got the message loud and clear. It shouldn't have spoken to Jesus whatever he said, because within a matter of hours, he was dead. He or she, you know. You know, Jesus said, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whosoever said to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he said shall be done, he will have whatsoever he said. He will have whatsoever he said. I'm going to repeat that. He will have whatsoever he said. You will have whatever you say. I will have whatever I say. Jesus spoke and declared the end result of that tree, and it happened just like he said. The tree withered up. Just like Jesus spoke to the tree and got results, we can do the exact same thing. Our tongues are powerful blades. It's a weapon. And depending on how we use it, you know, we'll get results, either good or bad. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Chem's translation says, both death and life is in the power of your blade. How you wield it will determine your outcome. Yeah, I'm very proud of myself for coming up with that one. Actually, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Our tongue is a blade. It's a weapon. It could be a dangerous weapon used to discourage and bring despair, or it can give life and encouragement. James 3:6, the NASB version says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. This little thing in our mouth can create a huge problem. You know, it can bring people together or it can cause division. The Amplified said, and the tongue is, in a sense, a fire, a very world of injustice and unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which contaminates the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. The cycle of man's existence, and is in itself set on fire by hell. Our tongue is a powerful blade, and what we say can and will determine the course of our lives. This little thing here can determine the course of our lives. Like rudder, I think it's the rudder it's called, it's steam. It's a little thing, a little tiny thing, and it controls a whole big ship. Never underestimate the size of the tongue. Now I'm gonna give a little, just a little story here from a personal experience. This was 1979, I'm getting married. I've been married a long time. And there's a scarcity of butter in our country. I mean, you can't find butter anywhere. Now I need butter to make my cake, to have the cake baked. That whoever, I forgot, I think it was my aunt, was baking the cake, and she said, you know, we need about 4 to 5 pounds of butter. That's a lot of butter. And so, you know, we're looking all over the place, from store to store, we're going looking for butter, can't find butter. Well, eventually someone told me that this particular store had butter, but they were only selling to grocers. You had to have own a store in order to get butter. Well, right there and then, I declare I'm getting butter. I'm going right there and I'm getting butter. I was told, no, you can't get no, they're not going to sell no butter to you because you have to prove that you're a grocer. I said, I don't care what they say, I don't care who said it, I'm going there, and when I leave, I am leaving with butter. So this particular morning, my sister and I, we set out to Georgetown. And we found a little store, and you know, she's all nervous, and I said, you wait right here. I'm going in and I'm coming out with butter. So she stood, this is my older sister, she's gone on to be with the Lord since. She stood up there, and I mustered up all the courage that I could get. And I marched myself into that store, and there was a guy behind the counter, and I said, hey, I'm here for the butter. And you know, he had this blank look on his face, you know. And I looked at him, I said, you know, butter? And he said, oh. And he said, okay. And he turned and he went behind this curtain and he came back with this cartoon with butter. And I said, you know, he placed it on the counter, and I said, oh, how much was that again? I forgot. And he said, oh, $45. Sure, you know, I had my purse, count out $45. And I tell you, I took that cartoon and I ran out of there like a bat out of hell. I mean, I was gone. The poor guy was probably trying to figure out what happened, you know? Man, I didn't want to give him no opportunity to ask me nothing else. You should have seen my sister's, the look on her face when she saw me coming out with that cartoon. I mean, she literally, her mouth fell open and she was literally gaping. She said, you got butter? I said, did I not say I was going to get butter? And she said, I can't believe they sold you a whole case of butter. Now, you know, back in those days, I had a church that I attended and everything, and it was a good church. And, you know, they talked a lot about heaven and hell, going to hell, you know, and got to get saved or you're going to burn in hell. I mean, if you went to that church and you didn't get saved, there was definitely something wrong with you. But, you know, there were certain teachings that was absent. You know, the teachings that we get about, you know, what we say and that sort of stuff, I never heard anything about what I said or, you know, how it would impact my life. So actually, I was in the school of the Holy Spirit and I didn't realize it. Yes. Because I kept saying, I'm going to find butter. I'm going to get butter. I don't know where I'm getting it from, but I'm getting butter. I'm getting married. I have to have a cake. And cake, you can't, I didn't know of any recipe that you can bake a cake without butter. So I was determined I was going to get butter. I kept saying it. And no one else was believing me. you know, they thought, you know, she's doing bad, you know. But I said it. And yes, I had to put some action, you know, to what I said. I had to be bold. I had to be courageous. I had the driest face you ever saw when I walked into that store. I mean, I had that guy so convinced that he didn't even bother to ask for no license or nothing. He just gave me a carton of butter, and I was out there. That's one story. It's funny. But then there's another one that's a lot more serious. This time, back in the early 90s, we were in Hawaii on the Big Island. My husband was still active duty. And I met this particular couple, and you know, the Hawaiians, they love luau. They're always at the beach, always cooking, you know, and stuff. And so at times when we would be invited to all these different luau's, I would hear this particular guy. He was married to, you know, to one of the girls that I knew, and he kept saying, you know, man, I just know that when my time comes, it's an automobile accident that's going to take me out. I'm going to die from an automobile accident. And I heard him say it at least 6 times, at least, minimum. And I remember this one time I was sitting there looking at him and thinking to myself, why does he keep saying that? You know, but he just kept saying it, and he said it, and he said it. Fast forward, I think it was 95, or 96, we're back in the States, and I get a phone call one day, and one of my other friends that, you know, that I knew from Hawaii, she's calling to tell me that this same young man went, I think it was Mississippi, or Louisiana, wherever, he went to visit his mom, who was in the hospital. And this, you know, he lived in Georgia. On his way back, they said they don't know if he fell asleep at the wheel or what happened, but he had a head-on collision, and he had serious head injuries, rushed him to the hospital, and he never recovered. That was it. He died. And when she told me that, I remembered what he kept saying. I just know that an automobile accident is going to take me out. I just know, you know, he was prophesying his death. You know, we have to be careful. Some of us say things and we're prophesying, you know, we're planting those seeds, and you know, when they bring fruit, when the harvest comes, we don't like it. We have to be careful what we say. Our tongue is a blade. It's a powerful blade. It's a sharp blade. And like I said, how we wield it will determine the outcome. Moving on to Mark chapter 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, for she what? Said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Here again we see this woman. She said, if I could only touch his clothes, if I could only touch his clothes. She had heard of all the miracles that Jesus had done. He had raised the dead, opened the eyes of those who were blind, the dumb was speaking, the lame was walking. You know, she could have said something totally different. She could have said, well, I don't know now. I may not, you know, how am I supposed to get near to him? Because there was a crowd wherever Jesus went. People followed him, they thronged him. And you know, in those days, biblically, she wasn't even supposed to be among people because she was considered unclean. So she was ceremonially unclean. Everything that she touched was supposed to be unclean. Everything that she sat on was supposed to be unclean. I mean, this woman, she was in a desperate situation. 12 years. Can you imagine having to go through that for 12 years? You know, when I really think of it, she was in a quarantine for 12 years. That's a long time to be in quarantine. You know, we complain about, you know, what's going on now. What would we do if this thing is extended for 12 years? I mean, I don't even want to think about it. But, you know, she had to put aside everything that, you know, that she was told. She's ceremonially unclean. She had to have a different mindset if she was going to get her healing. She had to, you know, forget about what other people would say if they saw her outside, you know, mingling with other people. She had to be bold, you know, about what she wanted to do. She just had to shut everything out. No, like I had to leave my sister outside when I was going to get my butter. I didn't make her come with me because she probably would have had this guilty look, you know, and all fidgeting everything, and you know, and tip the guy off that, you know, I wasn't on the up and up. So I had to leave her out. You know, if we are going to some, you know, there are times when, you know, if we are going to get our miracles, we're gonna have to leave some people behind. Amen. We're gonna have to, in essence, shut them out.
That's right.
You know, we are going to have to walk alone sometimes, not all the time, but there are going to be times when people aren't going to be there to encourage us, to back us up, say, yeah, you know, go, Deborah, you're on the right track. You know, there are going to be the naysayers who are going to be discouraging you and say, no, that's not going to happen. It has never happened before. You know what the law says. You could get in big trouble, you know, and we have to have the, you know, the mindset of, I'm going to get my miracle. And so she had to, you know, develop this particular mindset. And she had to press her way, you know, through all this muck and everything. You know, she had to, you know, just keep saying, if I can just touch his garment. That's all, you know, was in the forefront of her mind. I have to touch his garment. She had to see herself mingling, making her way. You know, she probably had to elbow a few people, get to where she could touch. All she needed was one touch. She had done everything she knew to do, everything. The Bible said she had gone to many doctors, spent everything she had, but got no results. We know people today who are just going from doctor to doctor to doctor. You know, they're spending all kinds of money and stuff, and they're not better. Same thing with her. And back in those days, I know they didn't have all the technology and stuff that we have today. The Berean Bible says, and she had borne much agony under the care of many physicians and had spent all she had to no avail. Instead, her condition had only grown worse. You know, she was worn out. She had to be weak. You know, if you're hemorrhaging for 12 years, you are weak. But she put her blade into gear and spoke words of faith. Yes. We have to put our blade, our tongue, into gear, the right gear, and speak words of faith. We have to speak in line with what the word says. Mm-hmm. If we speak contrary to what the word says, we're not going to get any results. She put out faith-filled words into the atmosphere. She took action, and she was rewarded with the fruit of what she said. Just like it says in Proverbs 18:21, they that love it shall eat the fruit. What is the it? Either death or life. What are we saying about our situation, our various mountains, you know, that's standing before us? Now more than ever, we're facing mountains of every sort. The threat of job loss looms big for many on account of, you know, certain mandates and all that. That's a mountain. That's a huge mountain. When you are threatened with your job, You know, you either do this or you lose your job, and you're thinking you have your mortgage, you have your car payment, you have to feed your kids. That's a mountain. Boy, that is some mountain. You know, what are we going to say? What are we saying? Illness is a mountain. You go to the doctor for a checkup, your annual checkup, and he gives you some bad news. That's a mountain. What are you going to say in the moment when you hear that bad news? Medical bills. Lots of people don't have adequate insurance. And you know, if you don't have insurance, the doctors don't want to see you. And, you know, mortgages, car loans, student loans, bills of every sort. Those are mountains. Jesus said we can speak to those mountains and it will obey. It will obey whatever we say. That's huge. Are we engaging our blades and wielding them in the right direction? What are we saying? You know, we have to be careful what we say, because whether we like it or not, those mountains are going to be there. They're not going anywhere. I mean, you know, they're going if we speak to them, but they're there. And sooner or later, they'll try to manifest themselves in front of us. And so we have to, you know, be diligent. We have to, be alert, so that the words that come out of our tongue is in line with what God says. We have to be careful with our words, because once they're said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. You know, sometimes, you know, the enemy, he is just something else. Sometimes out of the blue, you know, minding my own business, maybe reading a book or watching TV or just cooking or something, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I remember something that someone said to me, something mean, some remark that they said that hurt me. And I'm thinking, where is this coming from? And I'm trying to figure what triggered this memory, and I can't put my finger on it. You know, those words, they can be forgiven, but, you know, we don't forget. At some point in time, we have an enemy who's going to try to make sure we remember. So we have to be careful, because words are like water coming out of a faucet. Once we open the pipe and the water begins to flow, you can't gather it back. It's out. Here's another saying, another Christian quote. Oh Lord, keep our hearts, keep our eyes, keep our feet, and keep our tongues. This is from some guy named William Tiptaff. Words are free. It's how we use them that may cost. Words are free, but they can be costly, depending on how we use them. So we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful how we engage our blade. How are we engaging our blade? Words can inspire and words can destroy. Choose yours well. We need to choose our words and choose them very well. Our words have power. They impact others, but they also impact us. This is from Michael Hyatt. As we see, our tongue, or as I am calling it, our blade, can be used to heal or hurt, depending on how we wield it. It can produce either life or death. And one day, we'll have to give account for how we wield our blade.
That's right.
Yeah. We're all going to stand before God and give an account for how we live our lives, the things we said to others. Our words will either produce a harvest or famine, life or death, encouragement or despair. Our words can make or they can break. Words are powerful. Our tongue is a powerful weapon. Our blade, it's sharp, very sharp. Do you have a need? We need to speak. What does the word says about needs? Philippians 4 said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all my needs. I had a need for butter. I spoke in line with what the word said, and God gave me a whole case of butter. I had enough butter for my cake and then some. I'm telling you, if I could have captured the look on my sister's face, I mean, it was priceless. She was just rooted to that spot where I told her, stay right here. And she could not believe, she said, I can't believe they gave you a whole case of butter. See, she didn't know that I have friends in high places.
That's right.
I think that was a song back in the day, Friends in High Places. And he said that we shall have what we say. And if God says it, who is anyone to overrule what he said? Are you facing a debilitating disease for which the doctor says there's no cure? Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This happened to be one of my favorite verses when I'm praying for anyone who is sick. We can also send this scripture. I learned this from Pastor Bob when Bean was in the hospital. And he said the Holy Spirit gave him this scripture, Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, there are times when I send the word to a person, whether they're, you know, wherever they are, in another country, you know, the word goes wherever, there's no distance. We can send God's word. Use our tongue, our blade, to send the word. And a lot of times I will send Isaiah 53:5. Father, I send this word to so-and-so in the name of Jesus, just like your word said. By the stripes of Jesus, so-and-so is healed. Are you discouraged? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Fearful? Are you afraid? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I remember when the Holy Spirit specifically spoke this scripture to me. This was back in 1980. We're in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu this time. And my husband, you know, he had gone away to the field. And I wasn't used to being in the house by myself. And I always had people around me. I grew up with people around me. There was always someone in the house, even if it's just one other person. But here I am in a strange country, you know, far away from relatives. And my husband is in the field. And let me tell you, I when night came, I used to be so scared. I used to be so afraid. I wouldn't go to sleep at night. If a pin drop, I could hear it. And there was this cat. I don't know whose cat it was. But this cat loved to come outside my bedroom window and fight with another cat. And you know, when cats are fighting, they make some heinous sounds, you know. And so even if I'm trying to sleep, you know, I would jump because these two cats are fighting. And sometimes I'd spill water on them, you know, to chase them off or anything. But I mean, it was torture. You know, fear is torture. When you're afraid, it's like torture. And I had a really good friend, and she and I would be on the phone till, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, just talking. And one time she said, Jim, I'm so sorry, but I need to get some sleep. I have to sleep, you know, and I would be laying there, and any little thing, I would hear it. And I would push the TV up against the bedroom door, and in the kitchen, we had these loofah windows. I would get canned vegetables and everything, and I would be placing stuff, you know, by the windows. So if anyone come in, things would fall and make a noise. Hopefully, I would hear it and wake up. I really didn't know what I was going to do because it's night. Where am I going to go? There weren't any cell phones or anything. I mean, I was so afraid. And one night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me this scripture. And I was desperate, you know, for something. And I took hold of it. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I remember that night, I just kept repeating it over and over. God has not given me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. God has, you know, I'm pushing the TV up against the door. God has not given me a spirit of fear. But you know what? I laid my head down and I slept like a baby. When I woke up the next morning, the sun was streaming down on my face, and I remember sitting up in the bed and looking around, and I'm thinking, oh, it's morning. I slept. I had the best night's sleep. You know? The Holy Spirit, isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
He saw how fearful I was. He saw how I was being tortured, and he gave me this word. And I took hold of it, and it worked. See, we have to take hold of the word. We have to take hold of it. Sometimes we don't take hold of it like we should. But I was desperate. I didn't have an issue of blood, but I was desperate for some sleep. And God, in his goodness, gave me, you know, this word through the Holy Spirit. And I had the best sleep of my night. I spoke it. And my time is up. I'm going to have to continue this lesson next week. If you're interested in hearing the rest, tune in same time, same channel for more.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.